Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 492. It's the 27th of May, 2016. On the podcast today, the Duchess of the Chart, technical analyst, looking at the charts of Metal Tiger, Motive Bio, Lloyds, Cloud Tag, and Asia Met. And she annotates those charts. You can see what she's talking about. So listen to the podcast, look at the chart at the same time, and you can see exactly what Nicola's talking about. We also cover Man Group. What else? Coves, which is a nice rise. I do hold Coves. And also Morrison's, which we mentioned before. Plus, on the podcast, I have Chief Executive Officer of Tech Financials. Tech. That's a cracking ticker. T-E-C-H. That's one of the things that help people remember a company, you know, is the ticker. And that's a cracking one. That's Asav Lahav discusses their preliminary results and potential. I also have on the podcast today, ex-fund manager and now full-time investor, that's Jamie Streeter. And he talks about PayPoint, covers those, and also his strategy over the last few months. And today's penny stock with potential is suggested by Tony Benini. That's what it says. That's what it says right there. And I tell you what, I've read through it. I think I know who it is. But I've read through the submission, and I tell you what, it's well done. The person whoever submitted this knows their stuff about Asia Met. And at the moment, like I said, I do hold Asia Met. And I think there's a buying opportunity. They've had a bit of weakness in the price recently. And of course, the fundamentals haven't changed. But I'll be covering that later.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is the Duchess of the Charts, the lady with the technicals. It's Nicola Duke.
Ooh, that was brilliant. Thanks.
All right, yeah, I thought it was going longer there, and my lungs had exploded, so I had to cut it off. So, are you looking forward to the bank holiday weekend, Nick?
You know, I feel much better since I spoke to you, because last time I checked a weather forecast, it said rain all weekend, and you said just Saturday morning, so
Yeah, where I am, hopefully, we bought a new gas bottle for our barbecue, so where I am, it's showing a bit
on the
thundery.
Sunny south coast.
Yeah,
right.
That's right, a bit thundery up until about 2 or 3 o'clock, thundery rain, and then it clears out then, and it's about 18, 19, 20 degrees, so it's all right, isn't it, 20 degrees, if it hits that, it's not a high of 20.
Oh, I'd be happy if it does that, and it's not raining, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now we're coming towards the end of May, Nick, sort of, in a few days. So was it good to sell in May, or what's your opinion on that?
It's normally good to sell in May, but everyone is far too bearish this year. Like, if anyone's expecting a stock market collapse, I just don't think it's going to happen. And if you really want something to give you an indication, I think that if oil completely collapses, then it might drag stocks down with it. But I just don't see it, and I'm not feeling it. And I'm quite bullish some of the metals, not particularly gold, but definitely copper and some of the others. So, no, I'm not feeling a stock collapse this May.
Are you saying you see quite a bit of support
in copper? I'm feeling a little bit bullish. Yeah, I see quite a bit of support in copper and bullish signs. And I'm not that bearish stocks, no. I wouldn't sell everything.
Yeah, no, I'm sitting on cash a lot, but no, I haven't sold anything. I still have orders in for certain companies, at the same companies at lower levels, just in case it does go down. So I just see it as hopefully an opportunity to buy, you know?
There seems to be a lot of people sitting in cash, and I think that if the market gets really squeezy higher, people will chase it, and that's where the fuel will come from. So we'll see. I'm just not that bearish, that's all I'd like to say.
But also remember, it's not a stock market, it's a market of stocks. And there's always good deals to be had out there, regardless of where you are. You know, and a bear market, all that is the majority of stocks are going down, but that doesn't mean all of them. Obviously, there's more than a bull market means that the majority are going up. But of course, like I said, there are some always that goes down in a bear market and some that go up etc. Anyway, let's look at it.
Completely agree.
Yeah, let's look at some individual stocks that I sent you as requested by the people there, mainly from Twitter. So the first one was, in fact, take the lead, Nick. I can't find them. Was it Metal Tiger? That's right, yes.
First one is Metal Tiger. So Metal Tiger had the fabulous rally in February, March, sharp put retracement and a bounce sort of halfway. You know, most corrections are three waves. That means two waves low. A wave lower, a bounce, and a wave lower. And most impulsive moves are five waves. So if we look at the rally from the January low in Metal Tiger, you'll see that's three waves up and two corrections. So that's five waves. And so now we need two legs lower in our correction before we can really seriously buy Metal Tiger again. And we should get there about the same time that the RSI... I've got an RSI 14, so that's like a two-week RSI, about the same time that bottoms out. So I'm looking at really good levels to look at are 3.47.
Yeah.
And maybe a bit lower than that, you know, 2.8. Yeah. But I think 3.47 might hold it. I don't think, you know, they don't have to be equal lengths always. Sometimes we'll get maybe a triangle here, but it's not quite ready yet. And we're still a very, very long way from the 200-day moving average, which is still down at 1.7.
Yeah.
I like Metal Tiger, you know, it's but it's taking its time consolidating, and we need to be patient.
Yeah, and if you look at it, there was two, wasn't there, spike ups in when was that, March 16th. And that was around 3.2, somewhere around there. So, so there was some resistance there as well.
I don't know that we'll come all the way back to those levels, but we do need to let it come a bit further back. 3.38 is the 50% retracement. You know, I think at least we'll come back to there before we rally, and potentially a little bit lower to maybe the 100-day down to 2.66. So be patient. I like this, but it's not ready and it's not a buy here.
Okay, cool. All right, because it had a heck of a rally. I was in these. Literally, I bought them at 0.8, and I had them all up to about 4, I think. And so I did well there. And then it went up again. I thought, oh, did I sell too early? But of course, I thought it's better to take some profit and be caught, you know, hold on too long in smaller stocks sometimes. All right, next is Motive Buyer, MTFB.
Now, this one looks good.
Yeah, well, do you know
what?
These are in the space of antibiotics. I don't know if you're aware, but by the next 10 years, if new companies aren't bringing on new antibiotics to the market, we'll all die of simple infections because they're becoming less resistant to bacteria. And there was a thing out this week, actually. Jim, the guy who coined the phrase BRICS, what's his name?
Goldman Sachs guy.
Yeah, what's his name? Yeah, yeah.
He's been the report.
That's right. He's been headed up to do this, and he said the same thing. He said, you know, and he's even saying that you know, big pharma companies, because the margins are quite small, don't bother with this kind of stuff, antibiotics. And so he said they should tax big pharma companies unless they have in their pipeline some, you know, antibiotics. Because Motive Buyer are doing that. They're doing looking for this antibiotic they've got on the go here. And there's rumours they could list on NASDAQ in the year. But, so what do you think of the chart? They were with 47.1.
I think I heard that they're prepared to put money into companies that will you know, do antibiotic research. So that's quite positive. I really like this one. It's just got all its, you know, lower 20, 50, 100 moving averages in order. It had a sharp drop at the start of the week and it got bought up very quickly. I really like that reaction. We didn't get a daily close even below the 20 moving average. I like it to have another go. So support for this one.
Yeah.
We shouldn't get it closed below 44, so, but actually better support is moving higher now as 45.50. I like it to have another go at the 200-day moving average at 49, and my upside targets are 55.50 and 60.25, and I really like it.
What's the target again? Say again.
55.50. And 60.25.
Okay. Well, do you know what? I've got a preset, because I own these. I've got a preset line on my chart, and that is at where we are now, pretty much 47. Because have you seen before? Once, twice, three, four times, it tried to break it. Then it did, and disappointingly, it came back, pierced back below that that resistance level, and then it went down to like 42 pence, and now it's starting to recover again.
Yeah, no, I like it. I do think it'll have another go. But that, if you look left, you know, last summer, last August lows, this is the level that we're stuck at now. We have got above it, and we have had a go above the 200-day. I do think we'll have another go. You know, everything's lined up to push higher. The reaction when we dipped at the start of the week's really good. So, yeah, I like it.
Nice. All right. MTFB, Motive Bio. Next one,
but, your confirmation for this one would be a close above the 200-day moving average at 49.
Okay, cool. Next one we have, and they've had a bit of a rally of late, the banks. This is Lloyds, a big, obviously, FTSE 100, LLOY. And it was quite interesting that the bottom of the gap, do you see that there? It went down to 63.60, pretty much. And that was the top, the bottom of that gap, wasn't it? What we saw from February, and so it's. But we've had this interest rate hike threaten in the Fed, the States. You know, they all could happen maybe next month. They said, and so that's given a bit of a bolster to most of the banks, I think. So the banks are rallying a little bit on that at the moment. So that's quite good. So.
I've posted a weekly chart for this, but I have posted because I wanted to show the support and resistance. But if people look at a daily chart first, you'll see that this week we've got well above the 200-day moving average, which is now support at 70. I really like this to continue higher. I think that we'll take out the March highs easily next time. Upside is 76.60, and my target's 82.
Okay, cool, yep. Yeah, we are at resistance now.
We
73.60 is
we are testing there. Lower. The support is at 70. Dips back to there, I think, are buys. So you know, it's been a long time since we've been clear and well above the 200-day moving average. It hasn't been since last August, so it looks really good. You know, but it needs to come back and test it and find support. So hold at 70 for upside targets, 76, 77, and then 82. Next.
Yeah, all we need now is for those moving averages, the 50, 20, to move up a little bit towards. They're all flattening.
Yes.
The 200-day moving average is flattening out today, isn't it? So that's quite nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Good.
Yeah, okay. Here's a bit of a hot stock at the moment. CloudTag, CTAG, and it's, you know, Fitbit kind of, in a way. And it's probably, I've seen it suggested one of the most accurate on the market, their Fitbit software and hardware stuff. It's the most accurate on the market, apparently, according to people on Twitter. That is, of course, pretty holders of the stock. But I'm scrolling out on a daily chart, and I can see where we are at the moment, an immense rally today, and it's hitting that resistance of just below 5 pence, isn't it? The previous resistance, a spike.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So where did we stall yesterday? We stalled yesterday at the previous resistance, last April's lows, which was at 3.99, and then today we've continued higher, and now we're at the bottom of the gap. So if you look back to 2014 April, you'll see there's a big gap lower.
Yeah.
On the daily chart, scroll out. Yeah. And so that's where the resistance is now at 5.01 or 4.99. So that's where we've stalled. But our first Fibonacci target is higher than that. It's at 6. So I think that we do fill that gap, and that's where we go next.
Yeah, and the RSI is cooking
on
gas.
So each time, it's like a stair climb. So now the support's at 3.99. We're at resistance at 4.99. Below that 3.99 resistance is 3.39, the previous highs. But I think I don't think it'll stop until it hits the Fib target at 6. So if you're long, hold on for 6.
Wow, that's interesting, because some people would look at the RSI there and say, well, that's overbought. But like I said,
it is getting there, but you know, it can stay overbought for quite a few days. What you want to see, what you don't want to see is, if you're long, is it start to, you know, roll over on you at a good, if you are at a good resistance level and you see those oscillators rolling over on you, that's when you take profit. So
yeah, cool. All right. All right, and then last but not least, right at the end there, ARS. That's Asian Met Resources. So let's talk arse, Nick.
Okay, so I like this one a little. Again, you know, we're going to see two waves lower in a correction in this one. And I have a really good support level at 2.02, which is not only a Fibonacci retracement, but it's also last May's high. It might come a little bit lower than that. 1.85, and the 200-day is even lower than that, sort of 1.7. But I think that spike high might catch us, and that's at 2.02.
Okay, cool.
So not ready yet to buy. Put some price alarms there. Watch for the oscillator to turn up again. But yeah, that's the 100-day moving average at 2.02 as well.
Yeah, I gotta say, I do hold this stock. I bet I've had Tony Manini, the man, on the phone. He's a guy. Yeah. He's taking you know, small companies and big companies. He's got a history doing this, and everything's on track here. And this week, oddly, this is really odd. This week, they announced they had a tax rebate of $1 million. Right, this is a 12 million market cap company. They've already raised enough a million, so are they doing at least copper? They're in and. And yet it went up quite aggressively on the day and then came back down. And said, well, what's happened there? That's a bit odd.
That's
really
frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, so it didn't, for some reason. It's just naturally, it wants to find, like you said, some kind of a level here where it flattens out and then, you know, climbs back up from that level, I suppose it needs to find, doesn't it? Kind of a level. But fundamentally, the story hasn't changed. And I know some people, I've had emails from people, they know I'm in this, getting frustrated. I said, well, listen, the story hasn't changed. The management's the same. The assets are going to get bigger.
What's happened is copper has been really beaten down as well. Everybody thought the bottom was in copper, and then it's made this correction. So, I'm quite positive about that, the metals. So, I'm not too worried.
Yeah,
I do think that this isn't quite a buy here. You need to look for it to find support a little bit lower from here. So be patient. Like, I don't dislike this, but
yeah, I've got limit orders in this, and I think one was executed today actually, and I've got one done out. I think it's just under 2. But I'm happy to, because you know what? Look at the copper price anyway, the fundamentals of copper. Let's say 2 years down the line, which is when this company is producing, it's going to be way above the copper price. The copper will be in deficit at that time, you know? So fundamentally, it's a good story with copper, you know? Because it's like oil, lots of production's coming off and the supply isn't being replaced, you know? So there we are. Marvellous, Nick. Well, listen, have a nice bank holiday weekend, and if you could send me these charts, that would be marvellous.
I was again. There were a couple of charts that we looked at before that I was going to say. Morrison's is testing that resistance that I said to keep an eye on at 1.98. If we can close the week above that, we're on our way higher, and I like that as a bull flag.
Yeah, cool. All right. Oh, do you know, I just sent a tweet in there. This is not for a chart to send over, but if you could just on the fly look right now at Koovs, which is KOOV. Because that's I'm in this stock, and it's rallied crazily today. Yesterday, there was a good announcement from a major media company in India. It took a £3 million stake in the company, which is nice. And look at that. What are they up today? They're up 18.9% now at the moment today.
What price is it now?
I've got, let's have a look here. Hang on. I think it's 37.75
pence. Yeah. So we need to see if Cuve, okay, so yesterday Cuve got stuck at the 200-day moving average at 33.50, which is where it has. If we can close the day above here and the week above here, then we are then back above the daily 200 moving average, which we haven't been since January 2015. So that's like a year and a half. So that is awesome and a really positive sign. Yeah. I really like this if we can close above that. You know, sometimes you'll see them spike all the way up and then people will take profit and it'll come back. So 33.50 and 32 are now your support in CUV for continuation higher.
Marvellous. Anything else, Nick? Anything else?
There was Man Group I was looking at.
Oh, yeah, Man, go on, M-A-N. I used to hold these a while back, yeah.
Has been really quite beaten down, and I think that this has potential for a little bit of a...
What's the ticker for Man Group now? I've forgotten it. Is it... what's the ticker there?
It is EMG, Echo Mike Golf.
EMG, yeah. Couldn't think of that then, yeah.
Yeah, wow, sort of on pretty good Fibonacci resistance, previous support. I'm keeping an eye on this one. If we draw a trend line from the April 2015 high and join it with the January 2016 high, if we can break above that, I think that we're going to have another seriously good leg higher. Perhaps, I hate to say this, but every now and then you'll see one that has the potential for sort of to double its price, and I think this is one of them.
Nice, they, nice. All right, lovely stuff.
I know.
Well, that's good stuff. And have a nice weekend, and I'll say it again. Have a nice bank holiday weekend, Nick.
Thanks, bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chief Executive Officer of Tech Financials, ticker code TECH, T-E-C-H. I like that. Asaf Lahav. Thank you, Asaf, for coming on.
Thank you, Justin, for having me here. Yeah.
Yeah, first and foremost, well done for securing that ticker code TECH. That couldn't have been easy, surely.
Yeah, it was difficult, but we got it eventually, yeah.
I mean, on a boring subject, I don't know anything about the process of securing ticker codes, but how do you do it? I mean, I'm sure that, I mean, you know, there's a lot of demand for something like TECH, wasn't there?
We asked for it, and after a while, we got the permission to use this ticket code.
Oh, brilliant stuff. So it's easy to remember. That's always a good start, I think. So, Asaf, I'm not, you know, altogether familiar with the company. And so can you give us an update, a summary of what you do there at Tech Financials?
So Tech Financials is a technology company that is creating ERP solutions for online brokers. So if you are an online broker around the globe and you want to start your own business, you come to Tech Financials and you take a license from Tech Financials in order to offer online trading to your customers. We have customers from all over the globe. We have customers from Australia, Japan, China, Europe, Middle East, and so on. All of them are using our technology in order to operate online trading companies. The type of we differ from other companies by we supply simplified trading solutions to the online trader. They can trade in binary options, simplified forex. They can trade in simplified CFDs. So this is something very exciting, and very the market is very growing at the moment. This is one thing that we are doing in Tech Financials. Another thing, we have two major facets to the company. One is the B2B side, where we sell the software to online brokers, as I explained. And the other one is the B2C. We also operate our own trading platform, both in Europe and in the Asian market.
I was going to say, obviously, by the start there, by the summary you gave, is it just B2B? But then you just explained it's also B2C. And this is mainly, in the Far East, is it?
We have two B2C operations. One is aiming towards the European market, and the other one is to the Asian market. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's just go through some of the stats here on your company. You're about 8.5 million market cap. Price at the moment is 12.5 pence, and your interims are out. Was it yesterday? I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. Yesterday we released our 2015 results.
And you've got B2B business that performed strongly with significant revenue growth of 30% year on year. And so group revenue increased 12% or decreased 12% to $13.6 million. And so is it going, well, were you happy with the results, Asaf?
Yeah, definitely I wanted the better results in the first year in AIM, but there are very good things to take from 2015. First of all, our B2B segment of the business operated very well, and we had a good year with growth of 30%. This business is quite a steady business since 2011, 2012, 13, 14. Going forward, we always had a growth in this type of business. In the B2C, of course, this is less encouraging. We had a very tough year in 2015 for the B2C operation. We had a decrease in revenues of 40%, and that's the reason why we see the overall revenues going down in the consolidated results. Yet, we did a lot of things in 2015 in order to mitigate the situation. We signed a joint venture with the Asian company. This is the new B2C that we are running in Asia. I can tell that in Q1 2016, we already see the results of this operation. They are in line with our expectations and with the market expectations. So I think that even though we had a tough year in 2015 in the B2C, we are going to recap in 2016 on that front as well.
Okay, so you're saying definitely this year is going to be an improving year for you reckon, and I see you've got, at the end of last year, you had cash in the bank there, so that's always a good thing. So how are you going to grow this in the year to come? What's new? What's going to happen here?
Okay, so let's speak a bit first about the B2B. In the B2B, we are bringing more customers, on board. The more customers that you have, this is recurring revenues that we get from the brokers that are using our software. The more customers that we have, the more revenues that we'll get. We are going to concentrate on the Asian market. That's the reason why we open up the Hong Kong office. We are going to put a lot of emphasis towards this market, and we expect a big growth in the B2B area in the Asian market. In addition to that, we will start seeing some revenues from our regulated solution in the US market. This will be some revenues in 2016, but major revenues will drive probably towards 2017. In addition to that, we will introduce new products to the market. We are talking about introducing CFDs in 2016, regulated solutions to the Japanese market, to the US market. So there are a lot of things that will happen in the B2B area. In the B2C, of course, we are talking about this Asian JV that we have created. We already see a very good results from this joint venture, and we expect it to continue to grow in our other operation in the B2C. We are currently in creating a partnership over there, and we expect it also to grow the brand in the European market. So the expectations, if I take a look, the expectations for the B2C is continue to grow as we did grow every year since we started the company. In the B2C, we are going to grow through the partnerships that we have established in 2016.
Yeah, and what is the sort of revenue mix between B2B, B2C? What is the majority revenue generator?
So in 2015, most of the revenues, more than 60% of the revenues came from the B2B. Mm-hmm. Only 40% came from the B2C. We expect, since the B2C will recap more quickly than the B2B, we expect the mix to be in 2016 to be something like between 55 and 45. So it will change over time, but still the big emphasis here is we are a technology company. We're working the main emphasis on the B2B side. We will continue to grow the company with new products. This is the main focus of the company.
Yeah, and like I said, you are in the B2B side there. You are breaking into new markets like the Japan and the US. How easy is it to break into those countries? I mean, how much marketing is needed? How do you do it? What's your strategy?
Okay, for the US, we partnered with Cantor Fitzgerald. We are working with them on their binary options exchange. They have an exchange in the US, so we are working with them in order to supply the quotes to this exchange. So most of the marketing is most of the marketing expenses over here are not on our side; they are on their side, or on the IBs that are going to bring the customers on board. For the Japanese, again, for the Japanese clients in the B2B, it's not easy to penetrate. Of course, we have our own office in Tokyo, and we are working over there and selling. It's not easy, but we see some traction over there.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking on the chart there, and you seem to be, you know, having a support here. I mean, the share price has come down, and it seems to be bouncing around that 12 pence level, you know, which seems like a nice bit of, you know, technical support. Yes, nice. Do you ever look at the charts at all on the stock?
I don't look, you know, it's not my main interest to look at the stock price at the moment. And in addition to that, you know, these share prices, I personally bought shares, and I don't believe that this share price reflects the company valuation. Every CEO, of course, says it, but you know, take a look at the numbers, take a look at the prospect, take a look at the future prospects and the growing market. I don't think this. I should look at the share price at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. Well. That's supposed to be a nice roundup of the company, what you're about. So, in summary, if you can give three reasons why an investor should put Tech Financials on their Vox Markets watch list, what would those three points be?
So, I would say, first of all, you know, this is very, very low share price and market cap. And I take a look at the results of 2015, the expectations to 2016. I believe that if we meet the expectation, and currently we don't see any reason why we will not, if we meet the expectations, the share price will rise quite heavily. All the joint ventures that we established in 2015 will start in 2016, actually, will start showing up in 2016-17, and this is very good. It will allow us to grow faster than we expected, and of course, we see the indications of the beginning of 2016 as we indicated in the publication yesterday. We see it in line with the market expectations. And as I said before, you know, we are in a fast-growing market that is growing all over the globe. We are in a good position from technology point of view. People do trust Tech Financials products, so the prospects are looking good.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Well, thank you very much for coming on, Asaf, and sharing us the information on your business. And listen, you know, don't be a stranger. When you have more news, please come back on and have another chat.
Sure. Thanks a lot, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Wake.
And joining me on the podcast right now is ex-fund manager and full-time investor now. It's Jamie. Thanks for coming back on, Jamie.
Hi there, Justin.
Well, I was last spoken in February, and it's been an interesting couple of months. In fact, during February, horrible market, wasn't it? January, February, really, you know, market crashing times and quite scary at points. Thinking, wow, where's this going? But it seemed to have stabilised a bit since we spoke last. And what's your feeling? Because I know you do this full time. You have a lot of stocks you hold. So take us through now quickly. What you have? Do you have two portfolios? Is that right?
Well, I've got several portfolios, but I mean, I tend to look at the whole thing in aggregate. And okay. I think, as we've discussed in the past, that I've got sort of up to about 90 or 100 holdings across the piece, including all the different portfolios. So I just like to do that because obviously I'm, you know, running this for income and living off of some of the proceeds. So, you know, I like to make sure the income is very well diversified.
Yeah, and every stock you buy, does it have to be a dividend-paying stock?
I do tend to like having income on the stocks that I buy. So if it's got no yield, I will tend not to be interested. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. And at the moment, are you sort of have you been a buy and hold man still in this volatile markets, or have you got rid of some or bought some more, or what?
Yeah, well, I've been sort of trading around at the edges, really, but I certainly wasn't panicking in the first quarter. I mean, I have to say, I did take a bit of money off the table, you know, last summer, autumn time, when the market was a bit higher up, and therefore, you know, I was relatively relaxed about it coming back. Although, you know, clearly there's some concerns that we could have been entering a, you know, nasty-looking bear market. But given that the US employment situation still seems to be carrying on okay, and the Fed rate rises were put on hold, you know, it seems as though those worst fears have not been realized in the short term, and we've had that sort of relief rally on the back of it. But
Do you have a strategy like that? I mean, do you build a bit of seasonality into your decision making? By that, I mean, we all know traditionally, you know, returns are better over the winter months and summer months. Do you try and cash out a few before the summer months or not?
Not really. I mean, I tend to be driven by, you know, where the market's been or got to, as it were, and tend to try and operate on the basis of, you know, buy low and sell high. So if things have done well and, you know, markets are well bid up, and want to obviously try and use my or our gains tax allowances each year, then, you know, times like that I'll look at things that have perhaps got a bit extended or looking expensive, and is the scope to trim those or take those out and rotate into something that's, you know, offering better value. So I'll tend to do that quite naturally, and then sometimes it might be there's not much else to replace something with, so I might just leave the money in cash for a while and wait for a better opportunity to come along, because as Warren Buffett always says, you should wait for a fat pitch. And
Isn't it amazing, right? You just said there, essentially you summed up the market in a sentence. It's that cliche which rings true, and that's buy low, sell high. But it seems like it's quite a simple thing to do, you know, but it's when it comes down to it, you add a bit of human emotion to it. It's really hard. I mean, you know, people feel the emotion get away. But essentially, if you can remove emotion and, you know, sit and wait, like I don't know who quoted this, someone just a while back said, I sit and wait and I wait for it to come to me, and essentially the market comes to me sooner or later. I do have to wait, you know, certain times, a long periods of time. It's just having patience. But when there's money on the ground, I just pick it up. You know, when companies, because there are times, we know, a couple of times a year probably, where the market can oversell, you know, and you will get some real decent opportunities that come around and present themselves. And essentially, that's when you should take advantage. But it's amazing how we can get too involved in it and then overtrade or overinvest, can't we, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. And also, I'm kind of in this for the long term. So, you know, I'm not really one of those who goes in for a lot of hedging or is going to sell down a large chunk of my portfolio. Because I did see people talking about the fact they'd taken out 70% of their portfolio back in the first quarter as they were sort of panicking a bit with the fall in the market. And now the market's gone back up again, you know, to practically where it was. I don't know what those people are doing, whether they managed to buy back in or if they're now sitting there with masses of cash and wondering what to do, you know. So
yeah, but you know what, I at the top in April, and I had this from last year, I put in my Google diary, it's a free inner resource, Google diary. I just put about four every week in April. I put look to scale down a bit, because I just thought, we got the summer coming up, traditionally not a good for returns. Plus, we got the Brexit thing happening. Now we've got this threat of the Fed about to hike, apparently. And I've got cash, but I mean, you realise to a certain extent, it is. And I've said this earlier. You know, it's a market of stocks, and sometimes, you know, individual plays. You know, you can still pick up bargains when a stock market is rallying, you know, in individual companies. You know, sometimes, for some reason, you know, a stock will drift, won't it, sometimes? And you can just pick it up. So we often think of stock market when it's a market of stocks. And
Absolutely,
you know, yeah. So anyway, so what have you been looking at? Any stocks that tickle your fancy recently lack of
it? Yeah, topically, there was one yesterday which reported final figures, and it's one I've, I think, spoken to you about in the past. I mean, it's been a bit of a dull situation, I have to confess, but it's really quite an attractive income play now on the basis of what they announced yesterday. It's a company called PayPoint, which does the sort of payment terminals at sort of convenience stores and all that sort of stuff. So I say it's a bit of a dull business, and they've seen some decline in the mobile side of things, where people not doing so much of the top-ups. And they've also been selling off their online and mobile business as part of that, which they've had to take a couple of write-downs on the values of those, because they were obviously hoping to get a certain amount of money for them and it seems like they, well, they've sold one part of it already, and they're going to pay out a special dividend of 21p on the back of that. And that's part of the attraction. This one is special dividends, which they're talking about. So not only have you got that 21p that's coming in July, along with the final dividend that they announced yesterday, which was 28.2p. So that's going to be 49.2p coming through in July, which, based on the current share price of about £9.26, works out at a 5.3% yield just from those two payments alone. Yeah. Now, the other thing that was in those figures that people might have missed, but as part of that sort of restructuring where they're selling off that or those mobile businesses, and the reason that they did that was because they felt that they would need a lot of investment. They've suggested now that, given their existing sort of terminals and investing in those and upgrading those for the future, that they've actually got surplus capital. Now, rather than returning that all in one hit, they want to move cautiously with that in case they find, you know, investment opportunities, or I suppose it might cost them a bit more to update their terminals or whatever. But they said in the finals yesterday they're going to return that over the next 5 years at the rate of 25 million per annum. So the 125 million of surplus capital they've got there, which is a fair chunk, to be fair.
Yeah.
And they've said that'll come through in sort of 1/3, 2/3 sort of splits starting in December of this year. So I've worked that out to be about 36p per share in special dividends that'll be coming through on top of the regular dividends. So,
yeah,
so that means in December you'll probably get about 27-28p, which is another 3%. So add that to the final dividend, the special from the disposal, that gives you 8.3% in the next sort of 6-7 months. And then come next July, again, you'll get the final plus the balance of that expected special, which they've already flagged up, to be honest. You're going to get another 55p or so there based on current forecasts, which is just short of 6% as well. So you can get probably a yield of 14% or more out of this one in the next sort of 12-15 months or so, which,
yeah,
you know, even if the share price doesn't do anything from here, will be a pretty decent return.
I'm just looking at the chart and it's performed very well, the chart, even from when it bottomed, did a double bottom there.
Yeah.
And then it tested a previous resistance at sort of so it double bottomed pretty much at 720. Then it had resistance at 760. It popped above that, above the that's where the 20-day and 50-day moving averages it crossed. It zoomed up, and even yesterday, like I said, it was on resistance at 880 before the announcement, and it
yeah.
popped up at 880, and it popped above that, gapped right up. Now it's £9.32. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty worth a little wait, see if it comes back to 200-day moving average, which it gapped up, you know, above. But yeah, like you said, well, that return there is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So as an income stock, it's very attractive. I say on the capital side of things, that will give a drag on the sort of share prices, those dividends get paid and go X and everything else, but so I wouldn't expect a lot out of it in capital performance terms, especially as it's on say 14 times, which is a fairish kind of rating, although this one has been on a higher rating than that in the past. But I think it's suffered a bit of a derating in the last sort of year, 18 months, as they were selling off this online business and people thought, oh well, that's the growth bit or whatever. But they seem to have plenty of plans on the existing business, getting into these smart metering for the utilities, plus other things they're talking about. So, you know, it was trading happily around £10 middle of last year. So, yeah, I suppose it could possibly get back up to those sort of levels. But I say it's mostly about the income, really, rather than expecting it to shoot the lights out in terms of the capital performance.
Yeah, marvellous. Well, that's a nice little pick there. Okay, Jamie, well, listen, have a nice weekend, a bank holiday weekend, and hopefully speak soon, fella.
Yeah, lovely. Thanks, Justin. Cheers.
Okay, today's penny stock with potential. It's not been told to me. I know this stock has potential. I do hold in the interest of transparency. So I'll go through it, suggested by Tony Manini. I don't know. If you don't know anything about Asia Met, Tony Manini's the man. He's the man, the CEO there. But this is what does the company do? Fast-tracking to development and production the pre-feasibility stage of BKM copper mine in the Indonesian island of Kalimantan. Following a PEA, that's preliminary economic assessment, the BKM project has shown the potential for developing a robust, low strip ratio, low capital intensity copper project with low operating costs, strong cash flow generation capacity, and significant upside potential through the further resource growth and strong underlying commodity prices in the future. There we are. How many shares does the company have an issue? Only 622 million much of which is in old paper form. See, this person knows what they're talking about. What's the current price and market cap of the company? Current price is 2.35. I think it's a bit less than that at the moment. Let's just check. 2.35. I think it may have weakened a little bit. It's I've got it down here as 2.15 and around about 13 million market cap. How much cash or debt does the company have? Around about $3.25 million in cash. List three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, are you ready for this? Management track record of taking small exploration assets through development into production, for example, but not limited to Oxyan Limited, which was taken from a $3 million, now listen to this, $3 million market cap company to a pan-Asian diversified commodity producer, which was sold after 8 years for a sum of $5.6 billion. Management has a strategic awareness and experience to identify projects with very strong fundamentals and future cash flows to justify significant uplifts for investors. Reason two, strong assets. Not only BKM, which even the smaller of Asia Met's copper assets, and not including the large Bhutan copper gold growth option, has delivered an outstanding PEA, showing an NPV of $204 million, after-tax internal run rate return of 38.7%, extremely low C1 costs at $1.28 per pound, and gross revenues over the life of the mine of $1.27 billion, and that's calculated at future copper prices forecast $325 per pound by internationally esteemed consultants Wood Mackenzie, and also where the market is going into a predicted structural deficit in the future copper supply. Number three, the company's history upon delivering upon plans and strategy with a strong work program, a host of in-flight corporate items, and several strategic conversations taking place as we talk. And also following up, a strong pipeline of news flow to deliver upon for investors over the next year, including a major feasibility study work program at BKM, four live license negotiations, and applications soon to hopefully hear about positively strategic initiatives around commercializing or finding strategic partners for all the company assets, plus new corporate initiatives to including continuing exploration at new super high-grade zone named Baroi. I think it's Baroi. It's B-A-R-O-I. So that's that. You can check this out yourself. Just go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Click on my blog there and you can see this here. And by all means, get involved. If you know a company with good potential but needs a bit of exposure, get them on the podcast. This podcast is listened to by thousands of active private investors. And sometimes all it needs a company is a bit of exposure. All right, so get involved. That's it for the podcast. Thank you very much. Hopefully there will be a weekend podcast. Thanks for listening. And if you can, do me a huge favor. And anyway, please give me a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, and I will read out your dedication on the podcast, or your review. I'll dedicate what I'm trying to say in a real clumsy, ham-fisted way is I'll dedicate a podcast to you if you give me a 5-star rating and review. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.